This is Polykill, where two men, outnumbered by their games and at war with time, undertake the quest of defeating their lengthy backlogs. Please adjust your seat and prepare your ears for the banter of your hosts, Jake and Travis.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to episode 43 of the Polykill Podcast. This is the Richard Petty of Polykill Podcast. Jake, you get that reference?
STP, Baby Stone Temple Pilots.
Yes, and that is a reference to the car Richard Petty drove in NASCAR, No One Cares. As always, we're your hosts. I'm Travis. You can find me on Instagram and Twitter at TravPlaysGames. I watched Alien and Guardians of the Galaxy in 1 week. Yeah. Months after they came out. I love doing that.
Nice.
Tuesday $6 movies. Get them cheap. Get them cheap. And I'm also the retro gamer of the pair of us.
All right. And I'm Jake. I'm at the McAxel on Twitter and Instagram. And I watched Logan in black and white last night. If you haven't done that yet, do yourself a favor and watch it. It's pretty cool. And I tend to play more of the more recent release stuff, but occasionally I dabble in some retro stuff. And yeah, that's my role.
That's your role. Together, you can find us on Twitter at Polykill. Last week, we dropped Off Kilter 6. That's our off-topic podcast, unrelated to gaming. It was all about concerts. We talked about concerts we'd been to, concerts we were, I guess, we were really just proud of ourselves for all the concerts we'd been to.
Part of it, yeah.
Yeah.
Part of it, yeah.
Got but, lengthy.
But also, I mean, it's a fun thing to discuss because, you know, the different types of music that, you know, that we've both enjoyed and the different types of concerts that we've been to. And, yeah, they're somewhat, you know, watershed moments in my life to an
Absolutely,
extent.
Absolutely, yeah. So, if yeah. I point to some of the greater moments in my life occurred just seeing my idols and heroes right there in person.
Yep.
So that was what all that podcast was about. We also shared some stories from our listeners, and you're going to want to listen to some of those.
Yes,
some of them are way better than the ones that we shared. And if you're in the concerts at all, you'll want to check out our buddy Jake over here. He's going to be on another podcast. He's got a little interview feature with Into the Combine, a hardcore and heavy metal podcast. And should be dropping pretty soon.
Should be dropping soon.
Yeah, and you do a little concert review. Was it the one that we went to Indianapolis for?
It is, yeah, the Opeth Gojira Devin Townsend concert.
So. That's really cool. Yeah, so we'll let you know where that is. If you follow us on Twitter, follow him on Twitter, follow me on Twitter, you'll be sure to learn when and where you can access that. Now that takes us to the first segment. As always, recent pickups and games on our radar. Now it's E3. You expect the radar to be hot and heavy this time of year, but not so much.
Not so much.
There were no shadow drops. There's nothing going on big the next 2 weeks. A little unfortunate in that regard, but I was able to pick up one on the old Super Nintendo bucket list here recently. Legend of the Mystical Ninja.
Very nice.
Now you remember when I played?
Go on.
Yeah. This is one of his games on Super Nintendo.
Mm-hmm.
And of course, had I not played that N64 game, I'd have no interest in this.
That's pretty crazy.
Yeah, but looks neat. Looks as batshit as the other one, so I'm excited.
Gotta love it.
Yeah, yeah. And on my radar for the next 2 weeks, really nothing I can obtain because I don't have a PS4 yet. Perhaps I will. But June 30th, Crash Bandicoot Insane Trilogy. You know I have a soft spot for that old stuff. And
This update looks good. I don't know if you've looked at like the comparisons, but I mean, it's not just like, hey, we up-res the textures. I mean, they remade pretty much everything. It looks great.
They had a lot of fans to make happy with this, and I think they sure did and will. So it looks good. And
I agree. It looks relatively unchanged aside from visuals. I mean, I don't think they tinkered with much, mechanically speaking.
Yeah, and then just the fact that it exists is a great thing.
It's awesome.
So looking forward to that, June 30th. What about you?
Yeah. So nothing on my radar. Insane Trilogy is like something that I'm not really that interested in. I liked those games back in the day. I don't think it'd be something I would play again. I think I played all of them, including Crash Team Racing, which was one of the better kart racers that ever came out, in my opinion. Some people say it's better than Mario Kart. I say blasphemy. But maybe.
It is the PlayStation standard for kart racing.
It is. I mean, Little Big Planet had one, and that wasn't bad, but the Crash Team Racing was great. So nothing on my radar, but I did manage to finally pick up Dying Light, the Enhanced Edition. Now, if you've been following the podcast for any time, you know that occasionally I'll bring this up. And I think I brought it up on the under the radar segment that we did one time when we quickly discussed games that we had, you know, they've been out. They weren't necessarily huge releases, or maybe not to us at the time, but like that we've sort of thought about, you know, going and getting. And Dying Light is one of those games that I just was intrigued by initially, just didn't want to drop the full price for it. And I just kept waiting and waiting and waiting. And finally, PSN had a like best of E3 sale this week and dropped the price on a lot of things, not the least of which was the enhanced edition of Dying Light. So it's got like all the bells and whistles. I don't think it has all the DLC. I think it has some. And then it was $30 and they cut that price in half to $14.99. Mm. So snagged that bitch.
Oh, that reminds me, not to steal your thunder.
Oh, go ahead.
Let the ripples of that hard bitch you just gave keep oscillating. But I also picked up a game that was on digital sale. Completely forgot about it until you mentioned that. It was Dragon Age Inquisition for $5.
Yeah.
And I believe Dragon Age Origins is going to be free.
It is.
So
it is
free. Lots of Dragon Aging happening.
Yeah. Have you played any of those?
I know. I played a touch of Dragon Age Origins. And by a touch, I mean I got really far into it, just never finished it.
That seems right. It's an RPG.
Yeah, I don't know what happened to that. Oh, I had it on PS3, I believe.
Mm, okay.
And
Inquisition's great. Just make sure you don't get stuck in that first area. You can leave. Just don't get stuck.
I'll remember that.
Yeah,
probably.
I don't
not.
Remember the name of the area off the top of my head, just because I'm tired. But there is BioWare had to basically put a press release out, not like an official press conference, but a press release out saying, guys, you can leave this area, because they noticed all the players were just staying there.
Oh, wow.
Because it's not necessarily apparent that you can leave when you want to. So you just kind of hang around there and fight things and level up. But miss a lot if you don't.
Okay.
So
very good.
Yeah.
Yeah. If I ever start playing it, you might have to remind me that.
I will.
If I come in here cursing, you'll be like,
leave, my friend.
Leave. We're going to skip Hot Jakes because, to be quite honest with you, we've got some hot Travs and Hot Jakes coming later in the show. That's what the discoosh is going to be all about. So,
yep.
What happened last episode?
Let's check it out.
Previously on Polykill, has Far Cry 5 gone too far? What's up with rabbits hanging out with Mario? Castlevania on Netflix sure looks awesome. Jake and Trav tackle these topics before getting into their backlogs. Jake finally beats a pair of games between long stints of Overwatch and Dragon Quest Builders. Trav continues with The Witcher and Cartridge Club Game of the Month Final Fantasy 2 on Super Nintendo. Volume 2 of Polykill's E3 preview covers Ubisoft, Nintendo, and Sony wish lists and predictions for the topic of discussion.
Completed games or retired games. I'll go first and last because you didn't do anything, did you?
I didn't beat anything. It's been a busy couple of weeks.
Okay, so I remember last time I was talking about Kirby's Adventures.
Yeah.
And, you know, some members of the club were talking about Curb, the old Curb. And, I enjoyed my time with Crystal Shards on the N64 here recently. And I'd always kind of written off Kirby as being, you know, too kiddie.
It sounds hard, you know, Crystal Shard.
Crystal Shards, very difficult.
Sounds very difficult.
Very difficult. But, you know, I just always written it off. It was too kiddie. It was too easy.
Huh.
You know, who wants to play that? I have tons of other games I can play that present a challenge. But, you know, I had fun with Crystal Shards, and people were like, you know, Curb's the man. Dude, give Curb a little more respect.
Yeah.
So I jumped into Curb's Adventures. Good time. Talked a bit about it a little bit last time.
You did indeed.
Finished the game. You know, overall, I would say it's easy. It's not simple, but it's easy.
Oh, yeah, it's easy.
But there's one boss where there's a pair of fellas who give you plenty of flack.
Ooh.
It's like level 3. It's you know, a little bit of a difficulty spike there. And then the final boss. I think there's a challenge there. But, you know, in general, fun game. Totally fun.
Nice.
And we'll talk a little bit more about what we saw at E3, but I was excited to see...
make a return.
Yeah, a little inventive in how they were showing it, too. I was excited about that.
Agreed.
And then I also waxed off since you didn't sabotage it, Donkey Kong.
Yeah.
There on the Game Boy. now, Donkey Kong, Cartridge Club Portable, Game of the Month.
Right.
Cartridge Club Portable being a new part of the Cartridge Club.
An amendment, if you will.
Yeah, there you go. Yes, an amendment. Yes, so I played through it. Now, if you remember back, several episodes ago, I had started playing it again. I told the story about how I had this game as a kid. I traded it on the bus to another kid for Mortal Kombat because I thought Mortal Kombat was way cooler than Donkey Kong. And maybe it does have a cool
factor.
Yes, yeah. But... Donkey Kong Sub-Zero. Better game on the Game Boy, for
oh,
sure.
Oh, I would agree.
For sure. You know, when I was 9, I was like, Mortal Kombat. My mom wouldn't buy me this.
Right.
She did buy me Donkey Kong, but it's a superior game in every way. And I tried to stoke up the flame here a few weeks back, tried to play through it, naively saved it, went to bed, came back the next day, save gone. That battery, dead.
Shit.
So I just was like,
out of it.
Done.
Over it.
Done. I don't like to replay games. You know, I invested the time. I put a couple hours into it. I was like, I get it. Well, along comes CC Portable, first game they play.
That one.
Donkey Kong. I said, shit, let's do it. So I stooked. I pulled it back out. I got the old soldering gun going and switched out the batteroo and played through it about 2 or 3 nights. Dude, this game's great. What a great game. On the outside looking in, you're like, this is just going to be the arcade game in puke green. No, it's the arcade game in puke green, and then it's
so
way more game in puke green. But it's a lot of fun, so I definitely recommend it. If you haven't played it with the Cartridge Club yet, you got a couple weeks, so jump in, do it, be a part of the discussion over there on the Cartridge Club forums, and have a blast. You'll love it. So, we done with that?
We are.
Added to, do you have a good Vin Diesel impersonation? I was listening to Vin Diesel today, and he's very distinct.
Why are we listening to Vin Diesel today?
Well, I was listening to somebody else make fun of Vin Diesel, and I was okay. Like, that sounds fun. I also want to make fun of Vin Diesel. You don't have one?
He's the one impression that's always evaded me, because usually when I do it, I just sound, I don't know, like a tired whale and not an actual person. I mean, to be art, you know, one could arguably say that Vin Diesel sounds like a tired whale. But,
I think that's good. I think that's really good. Well, now we've kind of ruined this transition. I was hoping for more of a crescendo.
I don't even know why you wanted me to sound like Vin Diesel.
Is there a specific set of words? No, not really. Just something different.
Sorry, I don't have anything.
Oh, well, fine.
Yeah,
okay, well, now we'll just add it to the, backlog. We'll just say it normal. Add it to everybody happy. It's not fun. What'd you add to your backlog?
I added Frying Shite. That's not a game at all. It's Dying Light. I added that one. Mainly because I've been really in the mood to get back into something first person, and that's Dying Light. And it's first person, mostly melee combat and a lot of traversal stuff.
Zombies, yeah.
Zombies, you know. But there's like this, I think I mentioned before, this dichotomy between the daytime and the nighttime. And yeah, so I'm looking forward to exploring that dynamic and... you know, I really wanted to enjoy that first-person mobility thing with Mirror's Edge Catalyst, but it fell flat for me. So I think this might make me fulfill me in that area.
It's got good ratings.
People love this game, and I think part of it was good timing, because it came out in January 2016, I believe. So, like, there was nothing else.
2015.
So nothing else came out around then. So it was... kind of all on its own to shine, and people really took to it. So
cool.
Yep, looking forward to that.
Nice.
What about yourself?
Well, all I added was Walking Dead season 3.
So do you plan on playing this soon, or is it just something you're just going to put on your backlog and get to it when you get to it?
Yeah, I don't know. I'd like to play it soon. I really would. But, you know, I'm kind of waiting for a buddy to also get in the mood, because I love talking about what happened.
Sure, and so. Comparing decisions and all
that. Yeah, that's a lot of fun.
Yeah.
So just kind of, you know, holding back until somebody else commits that I'm close to, but can't wait to play it. And I got it cheap.
Typically
those episodes, you get them in a pack, $25, $5 an episode.
Yep.
It was on sale, got it for $15. So that's technically 2 episodes for free if you can do the math there at home. And I'm excited to get around to that.
Gig-i-t.
Now, if you're excited to get around to stuff, please check out Caltech. This episode is sponsored by Calden Technologies, LLC. Caltech focuses on product development in robotics, web apps, mobile apps, home automation, or some combination of the above. Anything you can dream. An automated app that does website stuff with a robot. If you want that in your house.
And who doesn't?
Who does not? You can learn more about it. You can start a conversation about it. Your future product, your idea, send an email to info@cowden.tech. That is info@cowden.tech. And as always, everyone at Caltech is better at video games than Travis. Which is a shame.
It's an unfortunate line.
Yeah. But if you like what you're hearing so far, be sure to check us out on Facebook. We're there, facebook.com/polykillpodcast. We're barely there.
We're kind of there. We have a presence. We have a footprint.
Like bikini underwear from the 90s. Barely there.
Yeah. Yeah. We're also at polykill.com. We're all there. That's like overalls.
Yeah. Yes.
Like the opposite.
Yes. That's a space suit.
Yes.
Cartridgeclub.org. We hang out there a little bit.
Yeah, like a cummerbund there.
Oh, yeah. Cummerbund. Yes, nice. Yes. Mm, yes. Mm. Mm, quite. Mm. You can hit us up on polycopodcast@gmail.com. Our next off-kilter topic, I believe, is going to be something about being awkward, and we might beef that up. We don't know. Oh, restaurants. I don't know. What did we settle on?
I don't remember.
Your run-in with wildlife? Surprise.
Sure. Yeah.
Send any good story you have to polycopodcast@gmail.com or anything you have there. That'd be great. Please rate us on iTunes or whatever service you use. Click a star, leave a paragraph. That always helps us out.
We love it.
Click a heart. Some of them have hearts.
Yeah, we like hearts.
You can find us on Podbean, Stitcher, Podcast FM, iHeartRadio. Mm-hmm. That's a big one. Nice. iTunes, Google Play, Podcatcher. We filled out a form for Spotify.
Ew.
And really, if you just Google us,
we'll show up.
Yeah, we'll show up.
Yeah, I'll show up.
And you can go ahead and subscribe to that sad, lonely YouTube channel of ours, if you don't mind.
Please do.
Great.
Please do.
All right, now it's time, Jake. Moving right along. What are we, like 13 minutes in?
Well, I don't know, 15.
Okay, it's time for the long play. Yeah.
Girl.
Now we're back.
We're back.
Finally got a good transio.
It was a year old one.
You've been playing. Been playing some games.
Yeah. You know, I went Adam Sessler there for a second, but I think that I'm going to switch my long play to Horizon Zero Dawn, mainly because of something that happened at E3, which we'll discuss shortly. But I just want to make sure that this is knocked out before I start seeing story spoilers, before people start talking about what happens in the game.
What are you switching it from? I forget.
I'm switching it from Dragon Quest Builders.
Okay, that's right. Okay.
Yeah.
I mean, Injustice wasn't your long play, was it?
No, well, it briefly was. It was there. It came and went very quickly because the story mode is like 4 hours.
So, okay, you haven't put any time into this recently, but you're declaring that it will be.
I'm declaring that this is my new long play.
How far into the game are you so far? Do you remember?
About 9 or 10 hours.
Oh, wow.
And a lot of that is just roaming around, looking at stuff, and getting into photo mode because it's so goddamn pretty.
Yeah, and you got that new TV, so now you're really motivated to get in there.
Yeah, so I'll probably be jumping back into that and trying to knock out that story mode.
And how long is this story mode? Do we know?
30, 40 hours.
It's not bad.
Okay. No, it's decent sized.
It's par, really, for big games these days. 30 or 40 hours is about what you want out of a long, it's epic.
Yeah, I can see that. Because
there's enough frills to make it longer, right. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
Right. That's, I think, the motivator.
Okay.
Is that I want to move through this before new stuff starts happening in that space.
Understood.
Yeah.
I'm still plugging along there on the Witcher Wild Hunt. No surprise there. I like to get a long play. I like to stick with it. I'm very...
Yeah. How's that going for you?
It's great. Yeah. It's.
I mean, any new revelations, not story-wise, but any new revelations on why you like the game, why you enjoy playing it?
Really?
Or...
Although I did. I was kind of half-assing.
Did you finally bang that hottie in Skellige?
I banged all the hotties in Skellige.
Nice.
But I was a little half-assed in one thing. I was kind of, you know, ho-humming through the story a little bit. Like, you know, taking it in, but just kind of clicking A and looking at my phone. Because a lot of it gets really drawn out, you know. And I really don't have the attention span for a lot of it. I fake it, but I'm like, nah, and I, you know, just let me fight, guys. And something happened. I guess I must have hit A at the wrong time or something switched. But you know how, like, your main quest can just kind of default to whatever it wants after you complete a quest?
Yeah.
Well, I thought I was still on some other quest, but it took me to one that was like 10 levels ahead of where I was.
Oh, shit.
And I was blindly map following, and I get to this spot, and it's just an army of dudes, and they fucking kick my ass so hard. And
damn.
It was several trials before I was like, what am I doing? What level is this quest? What the fuck is going on? But I was getting so murdered so hard. And yeah, I was like level 24 and it was a level 34 quest. And
shit.
It was the expansion quest too. Like
Okay. Blood and Wine or something?
Yeah, Blood and Wine. Yeah,
I got
it. The very first one in that. So it wanted me to hit that tier. And boy, I didn't.
Did you not?
So that was somewhat comical. Punched a lot of my cushions. And then I was like, oh, geez. Geez, golly gosh. I'm not even ready for this quest. So I had to reload an old save because once you die, it'll just start you back at your ass-kicking spot.
Yep.
You know, rinse and repeat. So that's the only story I have from Witcher Wild Hunt, but I am enjoying it.
It's
and
nice.
Moving that main quest along, I'm really eager to get through it because now there's a bunch of games I want to get to.
Good.
Games on the side.
Backwards.
I don't know why I did it like that.
So we both spent a little more time with Super Metroid.
It's been a while, man. January, can you believe?
Yeah. So
or February or
yeah,
March.
Yeah, we it's been a season.
Yeah.
Since we had redabbled and it took us a few minutes to get our bearings, not terribly long.
Yeah.
It started moving along and I think we're getting close.
Once it started clicking though, man, I got just such a
got the hot hand.
It's an easy game to fall in love with, and you know, every time, you know, well, I say every time, we've played it exactly two long stints, but right. both times it doesn't take long before I'm just like in awe of the game. And
yeah,
and but yeah, I believe we're on the next to last boss.
Yeah, I think we're right there.
Mm-hmm.
We got that new plasma laser.
Oh,
it's so good.
And got
so
the
good.
What do they call that little jump?
Basically the screw attack. I don't remember what it was called, but
yeah, I can't either.
But yeah. Space vortex or something, vortex jump. I don't know.
Yeah,
something
still
stupid.
So in 6 months when we decide to play it again, we'll probably finish it.
Yeah, it'll be a Christmas present to each other.
Yeah. Yay.
Yeah, that'll be good. And what about you? You still plugging along on any other things here?
Yeah, Final Fantasy. A little sabotage there. Yeah, you tried.
Yeah, that's fine.
I didn't give you much to work with.
Yeah, you didn't.
Final Fantasy 2. They're on the Super Nintendo.
So yeah, you got what, 2 weeks?
Yeah, I don't have much time, but I think I'm 75% of the way through. I just really need a couple good focused sessions.
Yeah.
And I listen to some different podcasts while I do it. So when a certain podcast becomes available, I actually associate it now with the game. I get excited about the game.
Ah,
it's really weird.
That's
some Pavlovian podcasting.
How Pavlovian of you.
Yes, yes.
Pretty great.
And I've already talked about Danky Kane.
You did?
So you're up.
So I've been playing the Injustice 2 Multiverse mode, which is one of my favorite parts about Injustice 2. If you listen to anyone talk about the game, I think Easy Allies is in love with the game. Mm-hmm. They will bring this up. And it's because, you know, a lot of times when you beat a main story mode in a fighting game, that's pretty much the extent of the single player combat, unless you want to play challenges or, you know, something like that. But what this does is it takes the whole DC multiverse thing and puts it into the game for you. So there's all these little multiverses that pop in and out that you can access. Like you go to the screen and you got these different planets, basically. And you select one, and there's a timer on each one because each one's only available for a certain amount of time. Some are available for an hour, some for a half hour, some for a day. And obviously, the ones that are available for a shorter amount of time have higher amounts of rarity and goodness. But you can go in there and fight all these different versions of the characters, and there's these little stories that go along with it, some animatics that'll happen that'll kind of like tell a little story. Plus, you get sweet loot boxes, which you always love loot boxes to get gear for your characters and all that jazz. So it's quite addictive. It's a lot of fun to play. I'm not great at the game, but I can kick the computer's ass, so that's all I need to do.
You kind of convinced me that it is a fun game even if you don't play against other people, which is important for me with fighting games because I hate other people, but I really like video games and I've always wanted to get into fighting games. So you're saying this might be a good one to dabble
I think this is a good one to dabble with, mainly because that, you know, expanded single player option, and it's fairly limitless. You know, you can just keep going with it because, you know, it's the multiverse. So it's cool.
And it sounds cool, the multiverse.
Yeah.
How cool does that
it's
sound?
It's pretty cool. And you know, there's a myriad of characters, and you level up your character, and you level up your profile, and you get the gear that's different levels. So, like, you get this piece of sweet epic gear, and it makes you want to level up your character so you can actually use this gear that'll make you better in the multiverse. So there's lots of draws to playing it. And, the special moves, sweet, sweet special moves, they're just great. So
nice.
Highly, highly recommend the game if you've not played it or heard that enough yet.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've still been playing some Overwatch. I won't bore you with all that again, but I do have a fun little story. Mm-hmm. So I do frequent the Overwatch subreddit there on the Reddit.
As you do.
And, you know, there's a lot of, you know, highlights, jokes, in jokes, videos, etc. on there.
Of course.
There'll be occasionally somebody will just pop in and tell a story, or somebody will just pop in and say, hey, I'm new here, but I just want to say thank you all for being welcoming, that sort of thing. So I saw this post. This guy was like, hey, you know, I'm new, but I know I'm late to the party, but I just started playing this game, and like, this is now it's my favorite new thing. I love it. I don't know why I didn't jump in sooner. I heard all the commotion, but you know, I couldn't be convinced, but finally I tried it, etc. And he was like getting bombarded with people saying, hey, you know, add me. I play on this and that and that. And people were mostly on PC there.
Mm.
So he's like, sorry, I'm a console player, you know. And I was like, hey, what console? Because you know, obviously I got it on both.
Yeah, of course.
So,
you do.
He was like, yeah, I play on PS4. I was like, sweet. You know, I told him my PSN ID and he was like, awesome. So I turned on the PS4 last night, and I had a friend request.
Ooh.
And there it was. So I sent him a message like, hey, are you the new Zenyatta main from Reddit? He's like, that's me. I was like, sweet, I'll be playing this weekend. He's like, great. Can't wait, man. So nice little interaction there.
Nice.
Yeah. So be pairing up with him, playing some Reaper while he's doing some Zen. So
make sure you sell him on this podcast.
I will do like, my damnedest.
Sir, if you enjoy this sexy-ass voice coming over the microphone, you can hear it a lot.
A lot.
Because we have a pretty decent catalog.
And I talked
point.
About you on the podcast. So yeah, that'll be, but yeah, it's just a fun little story. So I'll be playing with them this weekend if, you know, we're online at the same time. So
nice. Well, let us know how that goes in a couple weeks. I'm sure I'll forget. We'll probably never bring this up again.
Bullshit.
Yeah, dude. Well, that is cool. That is cool. Gamers helping gamers, you know?
Love it.
Now it's time for the Disc.
Whoa! Wow.
You know, everybody's inundated with E3 news. I stepped away.
Reaction.
I stepped away, you know, really Tuesday at like 2:30 after Nintendo had shot their wad. I stepped away. I said, hey, I've seen it with my own eyes. I can't stand to hear people talk about it over and over again. And in, throughout the week, you know, I refreshed my memory, you know, listened to a few talking heads selectively.
Yeah.
But really try to stay away from it. Because,
I did the same.
You know, it's just, you go in so deep, it's like Christmas, like, you know, December 26th, it's like, hey, you know, we've done it. Maybe, well, I don't know, maybe for me. It's like, hey, let's go ahead and get New Year started. Let's get drinking. So that's where I was. But now, you know, I'm ready to kind of go back over what we saw and do what everybody else does.
Yeah.
You know, talk about E3. That's what we do. So let's start with EA.
EA. Now, I'll be honest. I did not watch this.
Okay.
I was busy. I know what happened.
You have your finger on the pulse, man.
Yeah, I didn't watch the thing because I was just like, I know.
Sure, it's EA, right.
It was a Saturday, and I was busy.
We had just left Subway. I actually watched, listened to some of it in the car on the way back.
Okay.
So let's, first, for each one of these, I want to talk about the delivery, and I want to talk about it with really without mentioning a game.
Okay.
Just try to do it that way. So
okay.
EA, so you having not watched it, very predictable EA.
Right.
Dudes in suits.
Sure.
You know, dudes in suits. I think they started out with showing some sports, you know, as you would predict. And a new flavor of one of the popular sports games, so you're like typical EA.
Right.
But then they kind of changed it a little bit there, and they brought out, you know, smaller developer on stage, which I miss about E3.
Yeah,
you know, we'll talk about this later. There's not a ton of that for the big guys.
Right.
You know, the developer, sure, but the console, you know, Sony, Microsoft, they're not doing that as much anymore. Kind of miss that a little bit.
Me too.
But anyway, so delivery-wise, I thought it was typical EA, nothing really outstanding.
Sure.
So let's talk about games we already knew about. So, okay.
Yeah, we knew there were going to be certain franchises that were going to be not necessarily revealed, but sort of.
Yeah,
you know,
there's
exposed.
Been enough leaks, and then there's also just enough common sense.
Right, we knew there was going to be new Madden.
Of course,
we knew there was going to be new FIFA.
Uh-huh.
I think NBA Live was kind of a small wrinkle because that game did not do well when they reintroduced it a few years ago.
Right,
heavy competition, not even really competition. I mean, they were the competition at that point because the 2K series has long been the superior sports simulator
for basketball.
And they would be for football if they let them make it.
Perhaps.
Just saying.
Perhaps.
I think NBA Live coming back was kind of a big deal. They tried hard to sell it with like this the one thing, and I don't still know what the fuck that was. It was just them trying to give like some corporate branding to some feature for a buzzword for, you know, print on the back of a box. It was basically all they were doing.
Yeah, and they're trying really hard with these, especially these three, Madden, FIFA, and NBA Live, to really introduce a your character RPG
personality
kind of thing. And I'm not against it. I think that's what the sports thing needs. It's not just another simulation. There's more of, they're trying to make a story, and it's optional. You can still play your exhibition games of your season, but they're really trying to be giving you a unique experience each iteration,
right,
as opposed to just updating the rosters. And I think that's great. I think that's what they have to do.
I agree. I think that can justify buying the game on an annual basis.
More so now than in any other iteration, you know, especially, you know, the Madden, they have the new thing. FIFA's got the Alex Hunter thing, and they've made up a whole kind of false
mythology
universe about
it.
And that's neat. That's neat. I mean, you know, even if you're not into sports games, you kind of have to respect that forward thinking. You know, they're really not trying to sell you the same old thing anymore.
Right.
They're putting a little bit of effort
branching
into unique, you know, making it unique, which I think is great.
I agree.
And then we already knew We probably knew after the first Star Wars Battlefront that there would be a Battlefront 2. And then we learned earlier this year that for sure it would be at E3. So
yes,
we already knew that Battlefront 2 was going to make an appearance.
Yes, indeed.
And I'm assuming you watched the little trailer of that.
Yes.
Retroactively.
Yes.
You think it was all right?
Battlefront 2 looks amazing, in my opinion. Okay. It really does. Are we reacting to games here? I don't want to. Like,
yeah.
Get, okay.
Yeah.
All right. So Star Wars Battlefront 2, I think was probably for me, their game. For that press conference. I mean, there was a couple of others that come to mind that I think a lot of people are more excited about. But for me, it's Battlefront 2, mainly because it looks like they're fixing everything that we wanted fixed with the first one. Because we liked the presentation of the first one. It was just light on content. There was no single-player aspects. You know, the whole deluxe DLC bullshit that really fragmented the player base and a lot of needless shit. And they fixed all that. You know, they got the single player, the campaign is there. They got, you know, all the updates are going to be free. There will be microtransactions, but it will be for optional content, not core content. So they're not fragmenting the player base. They're like expanding to the all three phases of the Star Wars universe, which is really exciting. So I'm really on board with this, and I will buy this game and play it, mainly because, you know, they responded to feedback, and I want to reward that.
Sure.
You know, as a consumer, and it does look like something I would love to play. I haven't played a Star Wars game that I've been absolutely in love with in a very long time, and this looks like it might be the one.
It looks good. DICE has always been really...
I don't know what they...
Good looking graphics.
What they drink over there, man. But man, they just know how to make a pretty game.
I think they invented good ass looking rocks in video games. And ever since then, like, we'll probably talk about it. You know, Forza had good looking fucking rocks and
Assassin's Creed Origins.
Assassin's Creed. And I was like,
good fucking rocks.
I was like, DICE invented the rocks in video games.
Yeah.
But yeah, it looks good. And you'll be able to get a hold of that November 17th to give us a little date there.
I'll get it a little early and maybe talk a little preview times.
Oh, good.
Because I get that EA Vault thing where I can get the games early.
Well, aren't we special?
A little bit.
Now, surprise games.
Surprise games.
Now, this is the best part of E3 is when you get a surprise game.
Oh, I love surprises.
And you know, EA didn't really disappoint.
They had, I think, the best surprises.
In terms of having multiple surprises,
I think their surprises were the best games. I'll put it that way.
I'm going to scroll through the list real quick. There's some contention. But yeah, I think EA did a really good job.
I agree.
You know, I'll go ahead. I'll go down the list. I'll start with Need for Speed Payback. Now, we knew Need for Speed was coming, but we didn't know what was going to be called or what it was going to be a boot.
The plans
for it. And Payback looks as close to Hot Pursuit, a game that I really, really love. A lot of me and my friends and I really played a ton of back in the 360 days. Mm. As close to that as I've seen, but we're not sure how that multiplayer is going to roll yet.
Right.
But I'm excited to see.
But I'm excited for it. You know, I like a good. You know, sometimes I get a little fatigued with the story mode in a race car game.
Yeah.
Sometimes that gets a little old.
Feels forced sometimes.
Yeah, it's like, you know, the crew and the crew 2 now, and which I'm spoiled, I guess. But and then, you know, like the Need for Speed, like the last Need for Speed incarnation had like these live FMV sequences where like, hey, bro, you want to come to my underground garage and like race a car, bro? It's like, come on, let me just have a car.
Yeah.
You know, and you know, I appreciate trying to inject some kind of personality into a racing game because some of them can be dry.
Sure.
Looking at you, Project Cars, you're dry as fuck. But at the same time, you know, don't go like ultra douche and don't just do Fast and Furious. You gotta find something else to do with that.
This looks a lot Fast and Furious for sure.
Very.
But
gone in 60 seconds, man. That's what kicked all this shit off.
But we'll see how it plays. I'm excited for it.
Me too. Me too.
Another one, A Way Out by Hazelight Games.
This looks interesting.
Hi, dude. Did you go back and watch? Did you talk about it?
I did. He lacked some presentation skill. I think maybe he was just nervous. I don't know. But he just kept falling over his words a little bit. And I was like, get it together, man. You're on stage.
But, he's nervous, but he dropped some things in there that really endeared me to him. Like when he was like, "This, you could do anything." Well, not everything. And it's kind of like he kind of, you know.
Right. He was self-aware.
He did that. Yeah, definitely. And a little cheeky toward the end. I think he kind of picked up his confidence. And, of course, they did Brothers, A Tale of Two Sons, which is a great game.
Right.
He's very much into the co-op experience, which I like.
And that's what this game is all about.
Yes, play it on your couch. He modeled one of the brothers or one of the guys in the game after his own brother.
Right.
So he's very brother oriented, you could say.
Yep.
Game looks fun though. I like the way they framed the split screen differently, and you can watch a cutscene and move. And I can't wait to play that with not just one person. I'd play through that with a couple people.
Yeah, I mean, I think it's interesting that there has not, like, I can't think of a game, obviously in that style with that design, but like a good prison break story in it.
Like, it seems like an easy thing for games.
It's like, you know, you got these prison simulators, you got like, you know,
the Escapists.
The Escapists and Prison Architect, but like, there's not been a game where there's just been a good prison break in it. And I'm just like, this is somehow
at least not centered around that. You know,
and I think it'll go deeper. You know, I think it's going to, you know, obviously some of the footage that they showed was obviously not in prison, but I was like, man, where's this been?
Yeah. You know, I said I hated playing with people, but this is the kind of thing that I love to do, just a nice co-op experience with a close friend.
Because there's not going to be online matchmaking for this. This will only be one-to-one.
Yeah, directly online with somebody you know or on the couch.
Which, so that, I like totally that idea.
Mm-hmm. And then probably the biggest biggest drop from EA for sure, and one of the biggest E3 darlings, almost Belle of the Ball in a way, Anthem.
Anthem.
Looks pretty.
So this are we going to react to this now or the Xbox one?
I don't mention it during Xbox.
Okay, we'll talk about it now.
I'll let EA own it.
All right. So this came as a shock. We all knew BioWare was working on something just based on the fact that they had to be. And clearly they didn't work on it. It does explain a couple things. One, it explains that it was definitely, not being mean here, but the B team is who did Mass Effect Andromeda, which is why it kind of sucked. Their best developers were not on that. They've been working on this other thing called Anthem, which I still don't think we have a good grasp of all the mechanics are going to be in this and all the styles. You know, a lot of people are saying, well, it's the Destiny competitor. Some people are saying it's a Division competitor. Some people are saying it's, you know, this or that. It does have, you know, elements that remind you a little bit of a Destiny, a little bit of a Titanfall. The writer of Mass Effect 1 and 2 is writing the story for this, so that's good news, because those are arguably the best two science fiction RPGs in the last decade or so. So that's good news. Graphically, just mind-blowingly good. You know, obviously with the footage that we saw was running on the new Xbox hardware, but, you know, this just looked leaps. I mean, like, you know, as a kid, you know, you think about, one day they're going to make games that look like, you know, real life.
It's already exceeded my expectations.
And like, this was like, oh my God, like this is what I dreamed of as a kid. And I, you know, like when they got in the suit and flew out and like there's this big expanse. What I loved about that demo, and this is just from a presentation standpoint, and maybe it was just a great demo in my opinion, because they went, you know, in that market with all like the god rays shining through and like the big ship flying over. But you saw all these faces and all these people, and you talk with this guy and he's got all these detailed animations in his face, and you could sort of read exactly what he was feeling just by the animation. And then they just drop you into a rocket suit and shoot you out into the, you know, world. It's like they're doing both of these very well.
Yeah.
So that's good, because a lot of times games will just focus on one aspect or another, right? You know, they'll focus on the big environments and like, you know, kind of okay face animations, but like this is like doing it all. So that being said, I'm really excited for this. I'm not going to get my hopes too high just because I'm trying to keep that in check.
It's good.
But I think this has a potential to be pretty goddamn awesome. And I will be on board and keeping my thumb on its pulse.
Yeah.
What about you?
Definitely want to know more about it. You know, very, you know, presentation was great. Very beautiful game. I was like, wow, we're here. We've done it. Like, this is where video games are. We're living in an era where video games just look fucking great now. Yeah. And we can all be happy about it. And it's great. But it still has to be fun. And, of course, I didn't put a lot of time into Destiny or what was the other one you mentioned, The Division.
Titanfall.
In Titanfall. I didn't put a lot of time into those, so I can't really, you know, judge what it might be too harshly. I just hope it has a little more, the characters have a little more personality than what we saw. It seemed like they were just kind of vehicles into the world, and I'd like to know a little bit more about how they interact, because that might get me hooked.
Yeah.
But, you know, just from looks alone, she looks good.
She looks great.
She's hot.
So, she's a 10.
Yes, very much so. And then, of course, EA closed out with a big bunch of Battlefront 2 gameplay, which I think is what everybody really wanted to see.
Yeah, looked good.
Yeah, did look good.
The assault on Theed business and all them droids and the, you know, it just looked good.
Yeah, I personally really enjoy a lot of the Star Wars landscapes, that, you know, like Hoth or some of the desert scenes and that kind of thing. This was more of a city scene, so I don't know. I mean, it looked very pretty, but I don't know, something about landscapes and games get me more. And
gotcha.
I'm kind of hoping to see a different map, I guess, different level. But yeah, it did look good. I mean, everything was smooth. Lighting effects were just so amazing.
Yeah. Those particle effects that DICE do, I don't know. Like I said, I don't know what they're smoking or drinking down there. But, man, they just make them look good.
Pass it around. So our predictions, I didn't do so hot. I think I tried to get a little cute with mine with EA. I said we'd see lots of Battlefront 2, which of course we did, and you said the same.
Yep.
I thought we might get a little bone thrown toward the Sims folk because it's such a massive, it's one of the best-selling franchises of all time, and if there was one on the horizon, maybe they would mention it, but we didn't hear anything about that. They're very focused on console, and I thought we would hear a little bit more coming to Switch, but they didn't
throw it a bone at all.
No, not at all. Even FIFA's even getting a different Switch version.
They are calling it FIFA.
Yeah.
Because there was a rumor going around before E3 that was going to call it EA Sports Soccer or something like that.
Well, that would have been such a
That would have been, ugh. But they are calling it FIFA.
I mean, it'll still be a soccer game. I think it's just missing some modes and obviously, the graphical fidelity won't be as high.
Yeah.
But
honestly,
still,
when you're playing a soccer game, it doesn't matter what the graphics look like. I would play stick people soccer because soccer is all about the gameplay.
I agree. Yeah. I mean,
because I love a good FIFA game.
Yeah.
Love them.
Yeah.
Haven't played one in a few years, though.
Yeah. And then you said sports, and more sports, and you were not wrong.
I was not wrong.
Not wrong. So that takes us to Bethesda. The delivery. This is the one where I thought, Bethesda really, when they burst on the E3 scene here in 2015, mm-hmm. I thought they are the reason Microsoft and really Sony do what they do now in terms of just very little, not much on stage stuff and a whole lot of just hit you in the face with gameplay.
Right.
And
Show not tell methodology,
right? And yes. And of course, their standard being set with that Fallout 4 drop, which everybody's looking forward to that same year. Fallout Shelter, it was like, oh my god, Bethesda just gets it. You know, next year they only had Dishonored 2 and Quake. They didn't have a lot to show, but they showed it well. And this year, I thought, they still had a couple good games to show. They had the Evil Within 2 and Wolfenstein 2, but I feel like they dropped the ball in the presentation all the way through.
Yeah, this is where I get a little salty.
Okay.
This is where I get salty.
All right.
I'm a Bethesda fan. I'm not a fanboy. I don't drink all the Bethesda Kool-Aid. But I do like them as a publisher, and I like them as a developer a lot. I think they are one of the most well-ran companies in terms of they don't put out garbage. They don't talk garbage. And they just they kind of keep their ear to the ground. I think they've made some boneheaded moves here and there, but they overall do well. What I felt in this presentation was almost a sense. This just could be me reading it into it. I almost felt a sense of like them laying back a little bit. Like, yeah, you're going to eat whatever we feed you, so just take this and be grateful for it. Like, it almost felt like they were so confident and everything that they're going to show that they didn't feel like even putting any effort into it because first of all, they shifted it from a decent time to, fucking midnight on the East Coast. And
of course we're going to complain about that because we're the East Coasters.
We're going to complain about that.
Got to go to work in the morning. It's Sunday night.
But also the fact that it was a 40-minute presentation at midnight. Why would I stay up for that? Why not just, the whole thing was just one video with Pete Hines bookending it saying, buy these.
Yeah.
And
no Todd Howard.
It was just I felt honestly a bit betrayed by it because it was like it bothered me because it was like here's a game that we released 6 years ago, buy this again. Here's a game that we released 3 years ago, buy this again. Oh, here's stuff that we told you about 2 years ago and it's finally here, so buy this. Also, we're reintroducing paid mods, and here's two games that we knew you knew were coming, but here's some weird ass trailers for them. I don't know. It really bugged me.
You had another theory earlier in the week that
I did.
That would you share that? I like that.
My theory was because obviously there was this big rumor circulating based on a leak. I think it was NeoGAF somewhere that Bethesda was going to drop a new project because they've said for a couple of years now that not even working on Elder Scrolls 6 because they get two big new IPs in the works and they're focusing on those before they move to development on a new Elder Scrolls. And one of these rumored titles was supposed to be Starfield, which is a kind of like a space science fiction RPG in the vein of a Fallout or an Elder Scrolls. So they said, this leak said that would be revealed. And, in keeping with the Bethesda, you know, mantra. They give one E3 per game. So they're not going to show you the same game at multiple E3s. They're going to show it once and then release it.
And that's in their defense.
In their defense, and that's a smart way to be.
Really glad that they didn't fluff a 40-minute forty-minute presentation with games that don't matter. We wouldn't see for years.
Yeah. Yes. So, like, that was the rumor. Obviously, it could have just been nothing. Just something to get clicks or whatever. Anyway, so, like, if you recall, I don't remember what the initial time was, but I feel like that the time moved a few times as far as their press conference goes. I feel like it jumped around a little bit till finally it just ended up in, you know, kind of like, I don't know what you'd call it, but, like, if a TV show were about to be canceled, it would be moved to this slot. You know, right. I don't know what it's called. But I guess the thing that I thought was maybe something fell through with the development on this and they would, you know, they were going to announce it, but it fell through. They weren't confident enough. The demo broke, something like that. And they're like, scrap it. We'll wait till next year. Let's just move the press conference to later. And that's why it became sort of this late night, low effort affair.
Yeah.
That was a theory.
Yeah, that's I like that theory because it excuses them from my disappointment. It's almost like, yeah. Well, yeah, that's that sucks. Maybe it was just out of their control. But either way, though, the Evil Within 2 trailer and the Wolfenstein 2 trailer were just not good. They were very disjointed. They were out of sync. I didn't understand what was going on. And I know for Evil Within 2, maybe that's the vibe they're trying to give me is that it's a very spastic, disjointed game. But that did not do anything for me. I wasn't like, oh, I got to rush out and get this because I'm so fucking confused right now. Like, that wasn't a thing that crossed my mind. And even Wolfenstein didn't really have a flow to it. I don't know. Maybe that's getting really nitpicky, but on top of everything else, it just seemed like all of it, all the way through, even the little Bethesda Land gimmick was all part of some half-assage. But let's step back a little bit. What we already knew about, of course, the VR things, Fallout 4 VR, Doom VFR. I know you're not big on that. I thought those looked fine. Doom especially looks like a lot of fun, and our friend Brian has a Vive, and if Doom VFR can make its way into my life, it won't be soon enough.
Fair enough.
Skyrim on the Switch, we all rolled our eyes at it, but still, Amiibo support.
Putting Link in there, that was cool. Gimmicky as hell, but cool.
Yeah, that's fine. It's cool. Yeah. At this point, I'm excited to see if Skyrim will ever be on my Atari Jaguar. And
the new Dishonored. That is actually going to be DLC.
Oh, it's not DLC.
It's not. It's actually going to be a $30 standalone release.
Huh.
So it's going to be smaller.
Well, I'm surprised they didn't show a ton of that.
They didn't. I mean, they showed that little, you know, nice little trailer for it. I guess it was okay. I mean, it made sense for the world and for the whole role of a, you know, assassin.
One of the best trailers they actually showed. Yeah.
And so, you know, that'll be out this year.
Yeah.
So, I mean, everything that they had will be out this year.
Which is, defense, that's great. Surprise Games, Evil Within 2, everybody suspected we might see something from Tango. You even predicted that, and of course we did, so good job there.
Yep.
They closed with Wolfenstein 2, and while I said I didn't really like the way that trailer flowed, there were some golden moments in it, like the guy eating the cookie. And
The hand going rogue and slapping him in the head with the cookie.
The facial animations looked amazing. I liked a lot of the characters that they showed in there. They're very vibrant and personable, so that's a game I'm excited to get a hold of.
Same, because I'll play the shit out of that, because I you know, I've played through the other two and love them because they're just nice, strong, story-driven first-person shooters where you kill Nazis in an alternate timeline in the U.S. and, you know, that's just right up my alley.
And we're starting to see more of these. I don't want to call them half-step games, but just long extensions of the universe that are standalone from Bethesda, like this Dishonored entry and the New Blood. Is that what it's called, New Blood?
There's New Order, the Old Blood, and now the New Colossus.
Right, and the Old Blood was supposed to be a prequel.
It was a prequel, yeah.
But it was shorter and a cheaper game.
Yep.
Which is the same as this Dishonored entry.
Correct.
So it's like a thing that they're doing, which I dig that a lot.
Well, they're about world building. You know, that's what they do. That's their MO, and I think that's their strong suit is world building. So
it's essentially a big DLC for an entry. But it usually has its own isolated story and whatnot.
Right.
But it's still the same engine, the same character. It's usually an extension of what they've already built.
You don't have to relearn things to play this game.
Exactly. Yeah. Prediction stuff. I played it safe. I said that shows some more of that VR stuff, and boy, did they.
Yep.
You thought maybe they'd harp on Prey a little bit?
I thought they would.
They stayed away from it.
They really did. They didn't even bring it up. They said that they did it. You know, I think it was like their sizzle reel.
Yeah,
but,
that's true.
Like, I was expecting, like, maybe an add-on or, you know, some kind of, like, in Prey assault. But, you know, once again, they didn't fucking talk. They just talked, but, you know, just upload that video and let me watch it. Why do I have to stay up till midnight to watch that? Sorry, still pissed. But I predicted Wolfenstein New Colossus, Elder Scrolls Legends, and New Evil Within. So I got all those right.
Nice, man.
I'm winning.
New Colossus and Evil Within 2, especially. Well, New Colossus we knew was coming, but...
Yes.
So that was a safe one on your part. But Evil Within 2? Nice.
Yes.
Time for Ubisoft now.
Ubisoft.
I tell you.
This is fun.
I felt the absence of Aisha Tyler. I felt it.
Yes. It's palpable.
What's homeboy's name? What's French homeboy's name from Ubisoft? That
Yves.
Yves. We'll
something.
Call him. Yves.
Yes.
That seems right. He means
French.
Well. He means well. He loves Ubisoft. He loves games. You can just tell.
Yes.
He's kind of adorable. But by God, it's just painful for me to watch a lot of the awkwardness. You know, Miyamoto comes out and they do like the gun thing. I'm like, did you guys talk about what you were going to do at all before you did this?
I feel like they were looking. Have you ever watched the SNL bits of Garth and Kat on Weekend Update? It was Fred Armisen and Kristen Wiig, and they would make up a song in the moment and try to sing it together.
Yeah, and
that's what that reminded me. Like, they're looking at each other, like, "What do you do?" Like, that was what it reminded me of. It's like they're just Garth and Katting this presentation.
Yes, and you know, in those presentations, so much at stake. You immediately feel, you know, that embarrassment through you. Yeah,
yeah.
It was slightly painful, and that was right there at the point of the Mario Rabbids Kingdom battle.
Yes,
but let me go back to the whole delivery. Ubisoft, like EA, still has this 2013, we'll call it pre-Bethesda, method of bring out a developer, show some gameplay. Ubisoft will do that on occasion, but they also have been accused of showing extremely upscaled
bullshots.
Bullshots. That's beautiful.
Bullshots. That's actually what they're called.
Okay. Yeah. I didn't know that. Well, bullshots. They show a lot of bullshots. I think maybe they've gotten away from that.
I hope so. I mean, in this day and time, I mean, you know, the whole, you know, Watch Dogs thing, I think, bit them squarely in the cheek of an ass. So,
yes. Well, that said, I feel like they did show a lot of gameplay from each game that they showed, which is more than you could say for some.
Still heavy on cinematics, more so than I like. Because I'm at the point where, like, did you see Anthem? We don't need cinematics anymore. Just fucking stop it.
Yes, exactly.
Especially that pre-rendered BS. But anyway.
Everyone's removing HUDs these days, so sometimes it's hard to tell. Because games are so beautiful and cutscenes are so beautiful. Now you're like, where do I play? Where's the controller? Where's the handoff?
Yeah.
But, you know, they did the whole thing where they brought out, like, the Mortal Kombat-esque dancers. They brought out the Just Dance people. Yep. Where it's just like, you're still doing this. Really, you're still doing this.
It's probably a hit in France.
It's a hit somewhere.
Not so much in LA.
But now it's like, you know, I didn't think they would do it this year, and then they still did it. So now if they don't do it next year, I'll be disappointed.
Yes.
Like, I want to see the... Yes. I want to see the cringiness. I'm addicted to it.
But there's a couple things that I do want to mention about presentation. A couple things that I think should not go unnoticed. First of all, it was adorable. Like, I mean, cringy as it was at times, it was like, they love games.
They do.
They love games. And the other thing is, like, a lot of people, you know, immediately shat upon some of their releases. But there were two moments in that. One, we already mentioned the game. I'll bring up the other one once we mention the other game. But the game designer for Mario and Rabbids Kingdom Battle, there was a shot of him just crying.
Yeah.
Because he got to be part of this game with Miyamoto and get to have this big reveal. It's like, man, that's cool.
Beautiful.
Yeah.
It's beautiful.
That's really cool.
In my opinion, if you're not going to just do the old Sony and just bombard me with video after video, show me somebody, you know, really loving your game.
Passionate about it.
I'm kind of over, you know, and then we didn't get to see him this year, but I'm kind of over, like, Andrew House coming out and talking corporate lingo to me.
Yes.
I want to see a passionate
dev. Save that for your shareholders meeting. Yeah.
Mario plus Rabbids Kingdom Battle, that's a game we already knew about. That's a game that we might have been more excited about had we first heard of and seen it at an E3. I know it was speculated, but seeing it in person helped it, I think.
My God, I was impressed.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, it's goofy as hell. You know, rabbids are basically minions, and I hate minions, but...
But rabbids were first.
I'm not going to argue that. But I loved... The gameplay style of this, you know, it's basically Mario XCOM
for the kids,
just like,
XCOM for the casuals.
Yeah, I love that.
But it looked a lot of fun. I take back everything I said about
it. It's colorful, and
I'll play it.
It was smart. I think it's a smart game.
It was a great marriage between Ubisoft and Nintendo. So that was cool. Not a ton more to say about it, but I will say, color me impressed. Color me impressed. Far Cry 5, we already knew about it. That's another one where I think. Had I not known, had there not been a drop, that trailer that they showed, that little bit.
The guy singing?
Yeah, that would have been so great.
That would have been
great. All these great moments. I think we look back on this E3 immediately and said, this wasn't as good as last year.
Oh, yeah, I agree.
It wasn't as good as last year. We said that. But do you think, would have certainly been helped had it not so much of it been spoiled just days before.
I think the whole Far Cry reveal was unnecessary. I would much rather them just do that initial video, like Welcome to Hope County video, where like Amazing Grace was in the background, that guy runs through this field and gets shot.
Yeah.
Just put that out and then wait for E3. That would have been perfect.
Or just put that out at E3. That way, I like that trailer because we had no idea, aside from the fact that when, you know, it was on Twitter, someone was like, new Far Cry trailer. But if I had just seen that guy running through the field and getting shot in the church bell, I would have not known it was Far Cry 5 until they dropped it.
Yes.
That's an E3 moment for me. Just if I can watch 2.5 minutes of a trailer and I don't know what the game is until they show it to me, that's awesome.
Yeah.
That's an awesome moment. I would have loved that.
Like Resident Evil last year.
Oh, that's exactly what I was referring to.
Yes. I think that Far Cry 5 is going to be great.
Mm-hmm.
I really do, because I like Far Cry. I think it works. Just give me a cool setting to be in, and it works. And there's a couple of funny things that's come out about this game since that I'm absolutely in love with. Because it just kind of it kind of breaks you out of your perception of the world a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Because it was like, I think it was a Polygon article, which God help us. But anyway, it was like, what's ESRB going to do with this content in Far Cry 5? It's super controversial. I was like, ooh, what a click happy headline, but let me go see. And it's like, there is a depiction of cow on cow sex. And I'm like, really? How many people have never seen that? But I guess a lot.
Was it a real article? This wasn't National Enquirer. No,
this was a real article. They're like, I don't know how the ESRB is going to handle this. I mean, there's actual depictions of animal sex in the game.
I mean, they're just going to slap an M on it for the multitude of other reasons that they're going to slap an M on it.
Come on. But it kind of realizes, because we live in a semi-rural area and drive through rural areas all the time. And it's like, you always see this.
I see cows fucking all the time.
Constantly.
See cows fucking fucking horses.
Yeah. How do you get mules?
Exactly.
But it's just hilarious that would rock somebody's world. You know, cow fucking. I don't know. It was just funny to me.
As long as it's cow on cow, it's pretty good.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I hear.
Not good as in like you want to sit down with popcorn, but it's like it's fine. It's acceptable.
Yeah, maybe milk.
Assassin's Creed Egypt, I don't want to spend a lot of time on this.
Origins,
I'm sorry. Yeah, I had it written as Egypt because, it's in Egypt. Yeah. But I will say I liked a few of the things I saw. I don't know if it's enough to get me back into Assassin's Creed.
I was hopeful that it looked, like I said, next gen. Remember, that was my hope.
Yeah.
That it was something, a big enough advancement.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know yet.
Yeah, I will say that from what I could see, with the eagle thing and the homing arrow, and it seems like there's some level ups going on. It's a different Assassin's Creed game than what it used to be. That might be good enough.
There's a few pluses that immediately come to mind. One, this is the AC4 team. Love Black Flag.
Mm-hmm.
I think that's the last Assassin's Creed game that people actually really like. So I think that's a good thing. It's that team doing it. Second of all, the setting looks cool. I like the RPG and loot elements. So, those things look good enough for me to be at least...
Did they show a single pyramid?
Yeah.
They did? Okay, good.
They actually showed three, because they're kind of together.
Okay.
At least in Giza.
I kind of schnoozed on the Assassin's Creed. Mm. Games that we didn't know about before, The Crew 2,
I just don't care.
I don't care, but don't care. Cool for people that do. And Skull and Bones, like you mentioned, Assassin's Creed Black Flag was somewhat of the culmination of, or the just the peak of the Assassin's Creed series, and Skull and Bones absolutely riffing off what everybody loved about it.
Yes. And it was kind of one of those games that we assumed was in development, not necessarily by name, but like a pirate game, because Ubisoft had put out the survey a few years ago. It was like, would you be interested if we just made a pirate game? And so we knew that there was some at least interest in developing something like this. Basically, all the mechanics are there. They already got the systems in place for ship-to-ship combat, water and sailing, shanties, all that. Nine. Yep. So it made perfect sense for them to transition and pivot and do something like this. So it looked good.
Yeah, it looked very good. Very pretty. Yeah. It's not the only pirate game in my heart right now, though, and we will get to that. They closed on. Now, this might be the moment. Do you think this is one of the big moments of
E3? This is the moment of
E3. I agree with you.
The moment.
I have one other moment, but this is a bigger moment. This was bigger because they showed more.
I'm not saying this is my moment, but this is the moment.
Okay.
That makes sense.
I'll hang with you there. I hang with you there for now.
Okay.
But beyond Good and Evil 2, let's get right to it. It was so pretty.
So much personality.
So flamboyant.
Now, I'll confess, I've not played the OG.
No, I
have not.
Either.
I own it.
No, I know.
And have for years, but I just haven't played it.
I'm convinced, though, that it's worth my time.
Yeah.
So I probably will try it soon.
And here's something else. You know, the cinematic trailer obviously was pre-rendered. It's not gameplay. Mm. It was, you know, put together for the announcement. There's a couple of questions I have, like the whole Space Monkey program. I don't know what that is. Because they're like, help us make the game. And I'm like, are you asking for money? Or do you want feedback? Is this a beta? I don't know what that is yet.
I just ignored it because I was like, nah, just like, eh.
But I'll look into that. What I loved about this is how much everyone else loved it.
Oh, I know. That's a beautiful thing.
And
like Last Guardian. You're like, so happy for those people.
So happy for you guys.
Yeah.
And the thing that that really stuck with me, aside from the personality and how much it just reminded me of, you know, Luc Besson making a video game, you know, because he did like The Fifth Element. And he's doing Valeria, City of a Thousand Planets. Like, this is like that very like high sci-fi with lots of personality and weird character design. I love that.
Mm-hmm.
The thing that sticks with me the most is just how fucking happy Michel Ancel was out there on stage.
Dude.
And like he got all those people up on stage with him and he was fucking crying. And it was like the season finale of SNL and everybody was just like locking arms. And I was like, man, this is good stuff.
Yeah, that was great.
Yeah, I loved that.
Yeah, definitely. In terms of that, I was talking more about just the drop of the game, but you're right. That moment. That was the moment of E3. You're absolutely right about that. I love that. Could watch it all day.
Mm-hmm. And also, Marty Sleva of IGN said that he would eat his coffee cup live on air if they ended the press conference with Beyond Good and Evil 2, and we all jumped on that hashtag real quick. It was pretty funny.
Yeah. Was it before the Sony one he said he would eat two coffee cups, and I can't remember what game he said, but it was one that was like almost certainly not going to be announced.
Right.
So he was trying to up the ante on us.
That was pretty great.
Was. Predictions-wise, we both predicted that we'd get a little Ass Creed, and we did.
We did get some Ass Creed.
A little Far Cry. Well, played it close to the vest, both of us did. Far Cry Montana, of course, we did. Or Far Cry 5. Mario Rabbids, of course, we did. And you said something new, and of course we did.
Yeah.
So, 100% there, but we played a little
something
too
new
safe.
Something new was way safe. You
we
know,
played
because
way, safe.
Way safe. Skull and Bones would qualify,
I guess. Yes, absolutely.
I guess that's the only one that really would.
Yeah. Nintendo.
Nintendo.
Delivery. You know, it's the treehouse. What are you going to do? It's not the bombastic.
A 25-minute video, basically, is what we got. Right.
Well, basically, you know, I have a hard time figuring out what the fuck's going on with the treehouse because there's like pre-treehouse and then there's like treehouse meet and then there's like post-treehouse where they're just sitting around just playing a game and talking about it, and I don't know what's treehouse and what's not, but the actual conference itself, or if you can call it that, presentation that they wanted you to look at, was all, you know, a little bit of Reggie at the beginning and then video cuts. And a lot of good stuff in there, man. I thought Nintendo did really well.
My point is...
Oh, please.
And not discounting what you said because you were explaining it. But my point is, what Nintendo did was like, here's a 25-minute video. We're not going to make you stay up till midnight to watch a 25-minute video.
I see what you mean.
Because that was smart and thoughtful.
Yeah. Well, they threw it out there in the middle of a work day. They don't expect anybody to care.
Like,
they don't care if you care.
We'll know you watch this later.
Yes, exactly. That's the...
Well, I got to stay up to midnight to watch a video, Pete.
Yes, Peter. But delivery was Nintendo. Was Nintendo better than last year? I thought. You know, last year they only had one trick pony.
Yeah. This year they really sold how much weight they're throwing behind the Switch, and I think that was so important because you know they got the little shout out from Bethesda with Skyrim.
Yep.
They got the little shout out for soccer from EA.
They got the Ubisoft,
you know, the Mario Rabbids thing, which is going to be Switch exclusive.
So they were all over.
They're all over, more
E3.
So than they've been in years.
Yep.
But when it came time for them to, like, on the first party side, to be like, we're throwing our weight behind this, more so than I think they ever did with Wii U.
I agree. Yeah.
And I think that was important because we did get some known quantities, you know.
Yeah.
But we got some new shit, too.
Dude, I think it depends on what you qualify as a surprise because I qualify, let's hold on.
Let's
that.
Go.
Games already knew about Mario.
Mario, we knew what Mario Odyssey was coming. That was announced with the Switch back in January.
Mm-hmm.
But they showed a shit ton of gameplay.
Yeah, and of course they gave us a little nugget last year at E3, and we were like, "What is this? He's in a city!" Like, we're very skeptical.
What?
Had no idea what direction they were going with it. They open up the trailer with a dinosaur, and you're like, "Okay, what the fuck is going on?
What is this
right now?" It's all about the hat.
Yeah.
It's all about the hat.
The magic
and,
hat.
My favorite meme so far from E3 was, you know, they were talking about EA has Anthem, you know, so visceral, so pretty, so great. The Xbox One X can just almost explode your TV if it's not new enough.
It's vapor cooled.
Sony's got God of War and Spider-Man and, you know, huge development teams, years to get these things looking as good as they are. Mario throws a hat on a frog, everybody loses their shit.
Yeah.
And it's so true.
Yeah,
it's so true. And, I had to watch this a couple times before I
got it.
Yeah, you could say that before I got the hype, because at first, you know, visually you're like, this is looks like a really good Wii U game,
yeah.
Which is nothing wrong with that. I played tons of
eight
Wii U games I had.
Yeah.
But I started to notice, like, holy shit, there's really no limits to this hat, is there? Like, he's throwing it on frogs, people, cars, fucking flagpoles. Like,
yeah.
Okay, this is a big game.
Yeah.
There's a lot here. So I was, my hype built slowly, but
I'm like
there.
8-bit segment, like the Link Between Worlds.
Oh, that was cool.
8-bit segment. That was cool.
I almost missed that the first time I watched it. So
that was pretty sweet.
Really, I mean, in a dinosaur. Get the fuck out of here. You're a dinosaur in a Mario game. What is going on?
Yoshi's dad.
Yoshi's dad. Rex. Splatoon 2, we knew that was coming.
Also, don't give up. But it looks good.
Yeah, it looks fine.
It looks like Splatoon. I mean, let's be honest.
People are going to love it.
Splatoon
they're going to play it.
People are going to play it. I've heard it's great. I just don't care.
If you had it, you'd play it. That's the point. Surprise games. Okay, this is where I qualify this, okay?
Surprise, okay? How are you going to qualify surprise?
Well, because you could argue Xbox also released about 38 surprise games. But I think these hit harder because they're known. They're big known franchises, and we didn't know they were coming back.
Sure,
we probably could have suspected a few of them, but we didn't know until we saw it
and hoped.
Right. So I won't start with the one I listed first there, but
sure. We'll start at the bottom and work our way up.
Okay.
Let's
well,
do that.
Rocket League getting some crossplay action.
How about that?
That is cool. And of course, PS4 abstaining from that. Nintendo totally on board.
Yep.
Rocket League with crossplay. Holla at our friend Diego, who he hit me up on the Twitter, and he was like, I could play with y'all now. And I was like, yeah. So I'm excited about that. Because he's a Nintendo guy. So this is our first opportunity to get in there with the Dieg bro.
He'll have to use his smartphone and his 15-cord headset adapter to play with us, but that's okay.
Yeah, we'll just text on Twitter while we play.
That's smart.
Kirby and Yoshi made an appearance. Games without titles, so they're maybe an E3 away at least.
Yeah.
But they looked good. I really like what you can
do
with Kirby.
The cardboard papercraft look of Yoshi, too.
God, they do that stuff so well.
Yeah.
Shift in an aesthetic, whether it be yarn or cardboard, and it's like I just want to reach into the TV and pull it out. You know, it's crazy how they could do that. And Kirby looked good because you can transform. You know, that you can make it. You can kind of recruit the enemies to be on your team, which was kind of new and shiny.
I like it.
But the big things for me, Metroid Samus's Return of Samus,
3DS game.
Yes, we're calling it almost a remake of Metroid 2 that was on the Game Boy, but obviously a lot more added to it. You're not just hunting down 40 Metroids. There's a ton more there, but I think it's supposed to take place in that same block of time.
Right.
But I don't know. Talking out my ass. But it's on the 3DS, and it's coming this year.
Yeah.
It's coming September, I believe.
Pretty cool.
September. So that's
more Metroids are always a good thing. Like, well, more Samus is a good thing because Federation Force and all that bullshit, that was not a good thing. But
it looks good, too. Like,
more Samus.
Any 3DS trailers are deceiving sometimes because, you know, it's big and it's on your 1080p monitor and you're like, what the hell? And then I was watching somebody, you know, play it up in the treehouse and I was like, man, this thing is very fluid. It looks very good, very pretty. So it almost talked me into getting a 3DS. But when I went to GameStop, there was like 10 of them and I was like, are all of these 3DSs? Do all of them play the... Okay, there's 9 of them. Okay, cool.
Is this a Vita?
What's going on?
Yeah.
So that's cool.
Yeah.
But the big thing, one of the bigger moments...
Yeah.
Because, oh, man.
Is this your moment? Is this your big moment?
You know, it's a bit of... It's almost too much of a tease because they showed nothing but the logo.
Right.
You know? So it's like a moment, but it's kind of like at the same time, like, damn it! Because you want to see what's going on, right?
You do.
But Metroid Prime 4 dropped.
Yeah.
And, you know, it looked good.
Yeah.
The way they did it with the Screw Attack logo, and they kind of bring you in slow in the music, and by the time you catch up to what it is, they've already got the 4 and the Metroid, and you're just like, you know, splurge.
See, I thought the 4 was like Monster Hunter 4, because that was like one of the more recent Monster Hunters. Like, oh, they're going to do Monster Hunter 4 on the Switch. I was like, oh, shit, Metroid.
With the font, I actually thought it was a Fantastic Four game. I was like, what are you doing?
Dumb, don't do that.
What, Metroid? What? So, a lot of cool things to look forward to there. Metroids in a single E3. I mean, come on.
That's crazy talk.
Come on. Predictions-wise, I said that they'd drop a fun nugget for next year, and by God, I think it was the Metroid 4. Metroid Prime 4, I think that's what it was.
Yeah, I mean, and there's a couple other things that I think that should be mentioned about the Nintendo presser was the inclusion of the Pokemon Company making a full-fledged Pokemon for the Switch. That's going to be big. That's going to be really big.
You're right. I forgot all about that.
Because, you know, that thing has just lived on what one could consider, you know, restricted hardware because it's been in the, specifically the handheld space for, you know, ever.
Yes.
So now that it's getting a Switch, which is still technically handheld, it's going to get the full home console treatment, which is awesome.
Yeah.
The story trailer for Fire Emblem Heroes or, no, not Heroes. What the heck is it?
Fates of the Heroes, Awakenings of Valentia?
No. It's the one that's like Dynasty Warriors, Fire Emblem Warriors, maybe.
Fates?
No.
Warriors?
Warriors. I think it's Fire Emblem Warriors because it's the Dynasty Warriors, like Hyrule Warriors version.
Keep talking, I got you, fan.
But anyway, that story trailer looked pretty cool. You know, they brought in Warriors. Heroes, they brought in, you know, Marth, they brought in the characters from Fates. So that's pretty cool. I don't want that kind of Fire Emblem game.
Oh.
Okay. I still don't want that. But, you know, cheers to those who want more Fire Emblem, and that's okay with you to betray what the series is all about and play that trite garbage.
Oh, goodness gracious. Too much.
Okay, hey, it's my opinion.
Your opinion was that we would just see a lot of Mario, and that was not true.
Yeah, it was not true. We would just see more Mario than anything else.
That's a good point. Microsoft.
Yeah.
Delivery-wise, you know, you can say what you want about the games you saw, but they showed 42 games in, machine gun mode. Philly was the only person that came out. I thought it was great.
They had the guy who introduced Forza first, so he did come out and showed the new car.
God, I hate that so much. I forgot about it.
I don't really give a shit about the cars or Forza 7.
But from that point forward, two, I was really glad that they didn't spend a whole lot of time on the Xbox One X. I mean, a lot of that stuff, the spec stuff, that's better like to be digestible.
In print form.
Really. It was glad they mentioned it. I mean, they got to drop some buzzwords. I know they were excited about, like, vapor cooled and all the teraflops and giga widgets. That's cool. You know, people that are into that were like, oh, nice. But I'm glad that they didn't harp on it. They showed it, and they're like, this is it. This is the form factor. It looked great. Looked sleek. Looked small. Looked good.
So small.
It's basically, it reminds me a lot of the PS2 for some reason. Just, you know, the way it looks. Mm. I was really glad they didn't spend a lot of time on it, but then they got to those games, buddy, and they didn't let up.
Boom, boom, man.
That was great.
I think pacing-wise, they won. Because, you know, they came out with the new console, and then they talked about Forza for a minute, and then they showed a bunch of games, and Phil came out, and they showed a bunch of games, and Phil came out. It was good pacing. Like,
yeah.
I was like, this is over already? And it was the longest conference of E3. Yeah. So I applaud them on their pacing because I thought it was great.
I thought it was really, really good. We'll get into why it suffers a little bit in retrospect, but for the most part, I thought presentation wise, you can't be disappointed with what they came out there and showed you.
I agree.
You know, or the way they showed it anyway. Yeah. Things we already knew about. You know, the next two games we're going to talk about are ones that I'm actually most excited for, and we've seen them before. We've seen them years
or knew ago. Of them. Yeah. In that case.
Yeah. Sea of Thieves.
Yep.
Gosh, I think you and I are both really hyped for this.
Borderline game of the show for me. I want that game now.
You know, they showed about 10 minutes of gameplay from it, too. And, it just looks solid. That's the pirate game that I want.
Like, that's a game that you want to see people play together to get an idea of how fun it can be. And my gals over at What's Good Games, their podcast and all that stuff, they did a stream of them playing that, the four of them together, and man, they were having a blast. I could just watch people play that game all day. So
I'd like to watch me play it at some point.
Yeah, but that's really what I want to do. It's just like, come on, high seas, storms, pirates, buried treasure.
Yeah,
who the fuck doesn't want to play that?
Oh man,
come on.
Quarter one 2018 though, so got a little bit of time, but looks fun.
It's all right.
Crackdown 3, Terry Crews comes out.
Yep.
You know, good editing with that video. He's a funny dude.
I love Terry Crews.
Would love to have seen some fucking gameplay though. Jesus. It's coming out in November.
I know. I'm so worried. I really am worried because think about this. When was the last time we saw Crackdown 3? 2015? I think it was 2015. So we saw multiplayer, right?
Yeah,
we saw the destruction
which
cloud
is being
powered.
The multiplayer side's being developed by a different developer.
Yes. So that's a little scary.
Mm-hmm.
Haven't seen that since. Mm-mm. No mention of a beta that I recall. Then they dropped this Terry Crews trailer, which is the single player stuff. And honestly, what I saw didn't look great. And still gameplay.
It looked like it. It still looked like Crackdown 1 and 2.
That's what I meant. It looked a little janky, in my opinion.
Yeah.
And still no gameplay, but it's releasing this year. And I'm like, I'm worried, because last time this happened, it was Mass Effect Andromeda.
Yeah, and call me foolish, but it's been the game I've been looking the most forward to for a while. I'm excited to see it here, but I'm with you. I have some...
we have concerns.
I'm very concerned. Mm. Yes. When you have to pull in, Terry Crews, who's great.
Who asked to be in the game.
Yes.
It was his idea.
But, when that's the whole thing, you're not showing me anything else that's like, what are you hiding something?
Like, all those, comic book style cuts, so you never got a full screen view of the game. I was like, just show me the game, man.
Yeah. Shadow of War, we knew was coming.
A lot of personality that game, man. That big orc, that big sassy orc. That guy was fun.
Yeah. It definitely seems like they've doubled down on some of the personality. I've heard some people they got to play in the booth to give a shout out to a podcast and folk. I like EA or Easy Allies. Michael Huber was not high on it, and he's high on everything. So
it's true.
I'm more cautious now about Shadow of War, but I did recently try to dabble with Shadow of Mordor, and I don't think it was for me personally anyway, so, might be a whiff on my part, but I don't know. Looked interesting what they showed.
People are going to love it, so I'm sure. I'm happy for them.
Yeah, and we already knew, and this is another one where I think, our first exposure to this, had it been at E3...
Would have got a hell of a pop.
It would have been a hell of a pop, and this E3 in general in my mind would be much better, and that's the Life is Strange prequel, which is Before the Storm.
Yes. Now, this is also a high anticipation here, because Life is Strange, not going to beat this to death. It has my ultimate seal of approval. Some episodes have pacing problems, etc., but just overall, as a game, one of my favorite games of this generation, and I'm just excited to be back in that world, be back with Max. There's a whole, just all that. I'm just excited to go back. Yep. And see more.
In terms of video game story, and of course, episodic games pretty much take the cake in terms of story, because that's
true.
The 100% what they're supposed to
exactly
be. That was among the better ones. Definitely top three for me in terms of video game story. So yeah, Life is Strange prequel. Looking forward to it. Games that I was surprised about. Well, but instead of games, how about that OG Bat Compat?
Oh, wow, look at that.
Would have never seen that coming in a million years.
I had heard that people wanted it.
Yeah, but we want everything.
And I had heard maybe some people not denying that it was progress or that it was not impossible to do.
Right.
But the fact that they just came out there and they're like, hey, OG Xbox, they're going to look better than ever. We're going to give you Crimson Skies to start off with. It's just, ugh. Did you ever play Crimson Skies?
No, but I actually own it. I picked it up for $1 at a yard sale, so I should put it in and run through it, you say?
Oh, it's fun. Okay. I mean, it's not going to age terribly well, but it's, all aerial space pirate, not space pirate, like alternate history World War II privateer ship-to-ship plane combat with Indiana Jones-esque Uncharted style story. It's a lot of fun.
Also a lot of adjectives you threw in there, so I'm looking forward to it.
I do.
Forza 7.
Yeah.
That's the one that they tried to sell the Xbox One X to you right after they showed that. They're like, you could look at these fucking rocks.
Yep. I just, every new console has to launch with a racing game. It's just how it goes.
Well, I was talking about this. I think a racing game is,
it's a good showcase.
It is, because I mean,
you can make pretty rocks.
Well, you can make pretty rocks. The environments, you don't have to. You don't really have to include them as assets. They're just art, essentially. Mm-hmm. You can see how pretty you can get those. The cars have looked good for a long time.
It's true.
So, in weather effects, I mean, it's a demo for everything they can do in a sense. So, I wasn't too surprised by it, but
same.
I'm not big into racing games, but it did look good. Metro Exodus, look good, right?
I like the world, and I saw that gas mask in the snow and the Dostoevsky quote, and I was like, oh, I think this is a Metro game.
And the music,
mm-hmm. And then you're in there, shooting weird rat things and wearing a gas mask in what looks like an underground tunnel. I was like, yeah,
those lighting effects, man,
that looks so good. And this is going to be an open world Metro game. It's not going to be the linear adventure that we got before, which I was fine with, but it looked really cool, and the big fucking monster that you fought, and you just had to get away from it. And I liked what I saw.
The Metro series has always been underrated in terms of graphics too. And fun, maybe, but graphically,
especially Last Light. I think Last Light looked much better than 2033. Mm-hmm. But I agree. I'm They get atmosphere and they get it right.
Right. And but that's not an Xbox exclusive.
It's not.
Is it timed?
I have no idea.
Okay, well, it's supposed to come out in 2018. No specific date. Okay. And then Ori and the Will of the Wisps. This one called
Shadow Drop. Not Shadow Drop, but yeah, this one kind of came out of nowhere.
Yeah, I enjoyed Ori and the Blind Forest. I punched a lot of couch cushions because of it. But at the same time, it's forgiving in, you know, what it does. Like, you can save at any point. You just have to fucking remember to do it. And the story, if you're not crying in the first 5 minutes of Ori and the Blind Forest, then you're a stone and you have no heart.
Oy.
Okay, or you've heard about it already, or you're a grown man and it's fine. But anyway, it's touching. And Will of the Wisps, I'm a little excited. It looked really pretty.
Yeah, I like the shift in color palette, you know, because Ori was very purple-ish. Mm-hmm. There's kind of that orange flavor to it, which I like.
Yeah. And then, so we're surprised by all those, and they close it out with Anthem gameplay a little bit, a little touch
of it.
Yeah. Our predictions were Scorpio gets a name. Of course it did.
Yep.
Okay, Xbox One X. Yep. The date, of course, did we?
I predicted a date.
Did we get a date, though?
We got a date. Yeah.
Oh, we did. Okay, yeah. Good.
What was it? I don't remember.
Okay, what it was. I didn't write it down. So we got a date.
November something.
I'm sure it's before October the holidays. Yeah. And then price point, you went broad. You said $399 to $499, and then it's $499. So technically you win.
I do.
Good job. Sony. Yeah. Delivery. I thought they did as good as they could with the games that they wanted to show. They showed a lot, big chunks of these things, which I thought, I like that.
I did. This is where I get a little, I feel like I'm a bit of a hard to please, I guess.
You're
maybe.
Snob. You're a snob. That's it.
But it's just, you know, I liked it when they did it last year. This year I didn't like it as much. Because I just felt like it lacked.
Did it feel like verse two of last year?
It did. It felt like almost like they were kind of beating that dead horse a little bit. And I like the idea of, you know, don't overhype a game and don't give me buzzwords and don't tell me why I should buy it. You should show me why I should buy it. But at the same time, it in some ways, it almost seems like they don't necessarily have the amount of hype that they should about their games. I don't know. It was just because it was like, here's a bunch of games. Good night. You know, it was, I don't know. I just feel like I like a little bit of the theatrics. I like a little bit of the pizzazz.
I did like the way they opened it with the...
That was pretty.
Yeah, and that's become a thing that they're just going to do now.
Yeah, just musical opening.
And cool. The fountain thing. I give them props for that. They don't have to do that. And that's it. Yeah. It gets me every time. You know, I have no problems with Sean Layden, but he bores me to death. Mm. I don't know what it is. He's no Phil Spencer. Phil feels like one of us, and Sean Layden feels like a corporate.
Yeah, he was back in his suit this year.
Yes. Now, it's like, Sean, he acts like he likes games, and that's cool, but he's very much a corporate dude.
He also sounds like your friend's dad who acts like he likes video games.
That's true. This one right here is... It's a big one for me.
Yes. It is a great video
one
game.
One more thing. And you before will I go, love it. Before I walk off the stage. No, whatever. He's fine. You know, he's grown on me quite a bit. Yeah. It's hard to replace Jack Trenton because Jack Trenton just always had that shit-eating grin of mic-dropping magic.
I always looked like he was just like, you know, Jack Trenton always looked like he was still red-faced from drinking too heavily the night before.
Yes.
It's like squeezing into a suit. I was like, all right, let's do this.
And it always looked like he's constantly conniving.
Yeah.
You know, but
scheming.
Whatever. Yes. Very good word. But delivery wise, you know, we'll get into it. Okay. So they play some music, drop some water from somewhere, hang some people, and that Sean Layden has to walk through and comments on, which I thought was pretty funny. Actually,
He's like, yeah, they didn't tell me they're gonna be there last night. And I was like, yeah, they did.
He tried, like you said, it's a very dad like Uncharted Lost Legacy though.
Came looks out, good.
Showed there. They showed it last year at all?
Yeah, they did.
I don't remember.
I don't know if it was actually that or PSX, but it definitely we'd seen footage of it before.
It felt new to me. I don't know. In the PS4
because
closet,
like
so to
they
speak.
They initially they just like here's gameplay of something, mm-hmm. and it was just like, you know, this hooded woman walking through the streets and he had no idea what was going on. And then, like, eventually she, like, takes her hood down, and it's, like, Chloe from Uncharted 2, and you're like, fuck, it's Uncharted, more Uncharted. So it was pretty exciting.
A lot of drama, it seems.
I like this. Because, yeah. I mean, I think Naughty Dog does character development and character interaction better than anybody, mm-hmm. and seeing this, you know, her and Nadine going at it, and, you know, all the, you know, obviously the bad guy and the double cross and all that shit, I just, you know, it's an adventure movie that you just play, and I just, they do it so well.
Yeah, Days Gone. They showed a bit more than last year, and I thought it was a different flavor than last year.
A little bit. Last year felt like a technical showcase.
And last year also felt very, like, it felt more open world. It felt like, okay, we're just going to go to this bar. And, oh, gosh, there's tons of what they're calling freakers. And this one felt like, oh, there's some scripted moments. Like, there are moments that, you know, it's not... There's a story here somewhere.
Yeah.
Is what it felt like to me.
Yeah.
But still a technical marvel. Now, I'm not crapping on the game by saying this, but in terms of the zombie game, the two main zombie games that showed... State of Decay, which we didn't really bring up, but they showed that they're in Microsoft. Just more open world survival, you know, make a friend.
Base building thing.
Yes. Yeah. See, more my speed. This seems like you're very much a solo kind of almost selfish. Again, not putting the game down in that regard, but I don't know. Different flavors for sure.
Yeah. And to me, like a lot of people have the same impression that you do, that like people are not high on this game yet. Which saddens me a bit because I really do like the look of this game.
Oh, I think it looks great. I think the AI is really good.
The feel of it's going to be good. You know, and I heard some people talking, I don't remember who, but talking about like there's like dynamic weather and that's going to affect events in the game, whether or not that there are people there, whether or not like apparently like all the creatures in the game have to eat, they have to drink.
Yes, and I think that's such, and that really changed the game in my eyes because, you know, zombie AI is traditionally just
find
purposely
human,
garbage.
Human. Yeah.
But this, you know, if they have to eat to survive, they have to drink to survive, weather affects their behavior and that kind of thing. Now we're talking about a different game. This isn't your standard fare zombie game
right.
anymore. This is different.
Yeah. And, you know, the character models look good, and I liked the big zombie thing, and apparently the character you play, Deacon, I think is his name, is he's apparently a selfish asshole, so I'm okay with that. I like a good character who you have a hard time empathizing with. You kind of have to learn to like them as you play them. I enjoy that, and, you know, I like motorcycles and zombies and bears, so I'll play the shit out of this.
I like to be able to empathize with the character, but also like variation in character design, so that there's still a chance that I would be like, wow, this is just really neat. Like the way that this, because there's sure, anytime there's a character like that, there's going to be some arc. We're going to see something change about them. So
yes.
That's exciting.
I also would like it if it didn't. That's also fun.
Well, okay, whatever. Call of Duty World War II.
Yeah.
God of War. Okay.
This one's big.
Dude. Now, like I said, I haven't played a ton of those God of War games. You know, I didn't have PlayStation for a long time. Mm. I'm fully aware of how it works. Mm. I'm up on the story. I'm up on Kratos. I'm up on everything. This, though, looks like this could be a PS4 system seller for this guy. You know, heavy, right? That's heavy.
That's big.
That's big.
As big as World Serpent.
And I saw it last year, and I was like, oh, God of War, cool. Yeah, the boy, nice. Awesome. Okay, cool. Yeah, yeah. Nice. But then this year, I was kind of that. I was teetering a little bit, and then got to the fucking World Serpent, and I was like, that guy's my friend? Like, yes, I'm in. So that was exciting. I thought that was really cool.
And interestingly enough, they showed more gameplay last year than they did this year.
Yeah.
This year was all, like,
HUD removed,
moments.
But again, you don't know
sizzle, but yeah.
Where's game, where's moments, you know? Still really confused about that with a lot of the things they show.
There is a rumor. Yeah. I don't remember where I heard this again.
From me? Was this with Uncut? No cuts? Is this what we're talking about?
Yeah. That's what it was.
The whole
no cut thing. Just play through the game without cuts.
Yep.
That'd be sweet ass titties.
And that's amazing. That's a hardware. That's a generational. You know,
couldn't do that a year ago.
Detroit ago. Become Human. It seems like a different game almost than last year. It was very interesting.
Well, I think they just showed a different. Like, they showed the bigger part.
Well,
of
they
the
did.
World this time, and not just. An interaction.
Yeah, I mean, that's true. But it's definitely a lot more action than not that I anticipated, but definitely than we saw last year. Last year was obviously this very isolated 8-second moment that they replayed over and over, which was neat. This is a little bit more Orwellian in terms of how it's supposed to play out. So I'm definitely still interested. I definitely think it's beautiful.
I agree.
I'd like to see a little more gameplay. I feel like there wasn't a ton in this, was there?
It's hard to tell with a David Cage game.
Yeah.
It really is.
Just modern games in general. You just really don't know when.
I like the flashing moments when they were like being potentially harassed by peacekeepers or police or whatever they were, where he would just like look around and see all these eventualities like sort of stenciled out. And then he could pick which one he wanted to do. That was cool.
Yeah.
Like, it's being able to pre-visualize what's going to happen in the moment. That was neat.
I worry, though, that this game might end up being another Quantum Break where it's a lot of smoke and mirrors, and then three-fourths of the way through, you kind of like...
You're sort of shoehorned into a thing.
Yeah, a little bit. Yeah. A little worried about that, but what I've seen so far, it looks really cool.
I agree.
Surprise games.
Yeah.
You take it away here. You got surprised.
So Horizon Frozen Wilds expansion. So this is not something I was anticipating would be, you know, additional content for Horizon Zero Dawn, which kind of harkens back up to an hour ago when I said I wanted to finish this game. This is why, because there's new content coming, and I know there's going to be more talk about this, and I'm sure it will in some way tie in to the main campaign of Zero Dawn. And I don't want to get that spoiled. So this looked good. I honestly didn't anticipate it, but I'm glad it's coming. Still no word on like pricing or anything like that. I don't know. I mean, obviously there's no season pass or anything for Horizon Zero Dawn, so it's not like part of a DLC expansion plan. So I'm assuming it's going to be sort of along the model that Bethesda has been going with, which is like a $20 standalone or $30 standalone. I think that's probably how that'll work. I don't know.
I'm impressed that this game is supposed to come out this year, considering it just released earlier this
year.
That's
true. I mean, my guess is this is probably something that has been in development alongside, and they just decided to, you know, shift focus to that or something. I don't know.
Yeah.
Monster Hunter Worlds?
Yeah.
Don't give a shit. But cool.
Look cool. I like big swords, and I like big animals and dinosaurs and shit.
Yeah.
So I was kind of, swordy Turok. I'm in.
Yeah.
I don't know a ton about Monster Hunter. I hadn't played any of them.
Big and grindy, and, you know, you just hit monsters with your sword for ages until they die.
I'm down with that.
People love them.
Shadow of the Colossus remake. I know you don't care. You're rolling your eyes over there. I kind of care, because I tried to play this game not long ago, and it fucked me over.
Do you know the story of the game?
Roughly, yeah.
How it ends?
Don't know how it ends, no.
Okay. Then you should care.
Okay. Well, this might be my opportunity at some point if I
have
a PS4.
Yeah.
They closed on Spider-Man.
They
Big
did.
Old long Spider-Man. It looks like Spider-Man / Watchdog / Batman, I thought.
Okay.
Yeah. Yeah, if you played Watch Dogs and you saw the way that it kind of showed you what you could use in the environment, that's very reminiscent of that. And then combat-wise, I got a little twinge of some of the Arkham games.
Yeah.
Definitely pretty.
See that.
Definitely fun.
Very pretty. Lots of Spidey personality, because that, to me, that's what's going to sell this game versus like the graphical stuff and the combat.
Yep.
You need to have that Spidey personality to make it feel like a Spider-Man game, and I hope it does.
And it's standing alone from the films, which is also a very good thing.
I agree.
So
but it looks good. I mean, I don't really understand why this was their showcase.
Yeah.
Like, I felt that was a little out of place. I would have personally put God of War there instead.
God of War is supposedly coming sooner, so there's that. If you want to look at it from that aspect.
Maybe.
I mean, as in that you're right.
Right.
But yeah, Spider-Man, I don't know. Like I said, I don't think they didn't have a mic drop.
They didn't like, hey, here's Final Fantasy VII, here's Resident Evil 7. Like, they didn't have any big moment.
And that's, that's just the unfortunate that they have to follow up such a good E3 with such, you know, any other year this would have been still pretty good. But this year we're like, damn it, last year was so good.
Yeah.
Predictions. God of War. Yes.
Yes.
Final Fantasy VII went mentionless. Yes.
Absolutely.
No mention of Shinmue 3 either.
Nope.
And I thought Kojima might show up and talk about Death Stranding, but we didn't see any of that.
No, he actually tweeted out before, like a day or two before the presser started, and he's like, it won't be there.
Oh, well, that was after I did this.
Yep.
What about you? How'd you do?
I was way off on this one. I said we'd see more Detroit, which we did, and the rest of them I got no's on. I predicted we wouldn't see God of War, mainly because I didn't figure that game was anywhere near being done. And I kept seeing all these posts on the developer's Facebook, like, hey, we need technical artists. Hey, we need environmental artists. Hey, we need coders. And I was like,
that's right. Yeah.
I don't feel like this game is anywhere near ready. And I felt like we'd be like one of those, you know, Final Fantasy VII things where it's like, hey, we're working on it, but it'll be a while. But clearly I was wrong.
Yeah, what happened, man? You've been wrong like three or four other times I can think of.
Yeah.
So it's not
fine.
You know,
I said that there would be a price cut for PS4, which there wasn't.
At least not that they announced it.
Not that they announced. I think that would have been the time.
Yeah, that's true.
But yeah, they didn't. And I predicted that old Gio, of course, he would mention the Vita, but he didn't even show up.
Yeah, neither did the Vita.
Neither did the Vita. So,
Well, that's our show. We went extensive, but you knew it was coming.
Yeah, you knew. It's this time of year.
Yeah, it's that time of year. I love E3, Jake, because our topic is just built in. We don't have to work hard at all. It just happens.
It's true.
We watch it, and then we just rattle it off like everybody else does.
Say a bunch of stuff.
We're not special. You can find us on Twitter. I'm at Trav Plays Games. He's at the McAxel. He's also looking at his phone. We are also on Instagram under those monikers. You can find our podcast on Twitter at Polykill. Facebook, best Facebook page on the planet, says Jake. Facebook.com/Polykill Podcast. You can subscribe to us on YouTube. Please rate us on iTunes if you would. That'd be great. Gosh, please do that. Polykill.com is where we have all of our stuff.
As well as cartridgeclub.org.
Yes.
Short for?
Organism.
Orgasm.
And please hit us up on polycopodcast@gmail.com if Jake has said anything during this podcast that has enraged you. Make sure that you address it to him. That way I don't have to deal with it. All right. That does it. We'll catch you at episode 44. Peace. See ya.